Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, the 29th of October. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live here at republicbroadcasting.org. This is a show you're going to love. Now, I've always said that it's a basic rule of thumb, as far as I'm concerned, that if someone is thoroughly and regularly and heatedly denounced by the mass media in the United States in particular, and around the globe in general, that person is probably a good guy, or a good girl, as the case may be. And if they are hailed by the mass media, then you better worry about them. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, my guest here tonight has been regularly and thoroughly and heatedly denounced by the mass media for really all of about 30 years, possibly more. And of that 30 years, I've had the pleasure of knowing him as a friend for about 20 years. I've known his late father, a very fine man, his wife, and his two lovely daughters who share their father's enthusiasm for the goals that he has tried to advance. I've had the pleasure of raising hell with this guy on three continents, everywhere from the United States of America to Moscow and Russia to Tehran and Iran. In 1988, he was the Populist Party's candidate for vice president of the United States. In 1989, he was elected to the Louisiana State Legislature, defying the organized Jewish groups all across this country and the Republican Party establishment. In 1990, he was the Republican candidate for the United States Senate in Louisiana. And in 1991, and I think I have my dates here correct, he not only defeated the incumbent Republican governor in the gubernatorial primary in Louisiana, but went on to be the Republican nominee. Although he did not win either of those statewide races, which is no surprise considering the fact that vast sums of money were poured into Louisiana from all over the United States and probably from Israel as well, he nonetheless racked up anywhere, by even the mass media's estimates, of anywhere between 60 to 65% of the vote of the white European population, the peoples of white European descent in the state of Louisiana. In recent years, he spent a lot of time in Russia and in Eastern Europe. He has been a worldwide traveler. He has a full-fledged doctorate from a university in Ukraine where he has taught. And, of course, he is the author of two fantastic books, one of which is entitled My Awakening, and the other of which is entitled Jewish Supremacism. I will say about My Awakening that over the years I've always said that in my old office at Liberty Lobby on Capitol Hill here in Washington, I kept two books handy in my upper left-hand desk drawer, my own book, Final Judgment, for reference, and the book My Awakening for reference, because I think that book has touched on so many issues that people need to talk about. Our guest here tonight has been saying out loud what lots and lots of people are thinking, not just people here in the United States, but around the globe. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, respects the nationalistic and ethnic aspirations of all peoples. And if you haven't figured out who this guest is, I would urge you to go to his website. I know many of you are listening on the internet. You can go to his website at daviduke.com. We are going to the break in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, I will bring up David Duke. And I must tell you one thing about David. He has long been the owner of one of the sweetest little dogs I've ever seen in my life. I've seen him carrying this little dog in a backpack in fancy restaurants all over the world. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the broadcast you've been waiting for. I've received a lot of emails from a lot of people over the past year or so since this gentleman was last the guest on this program, people urging me to bring him back, and I did want to bring him back, number one, because this issue of race is really the big unspoken issue in the 2008 presidential election. I should say spoken and unspoken. And number two, because our guest David Duke is having a conference in Memphis, Tennessee, November 7th through the 9th. I'm not going to be able to attend that conference, but a lot of people I know are going to be attending, and you can get more information about that at davidduke.com. So without further ado, let us welcome aboard Dr. David Duke. David, welcome aboard. David Duke. Ladies and
gentlemen. Mike.
He is. I thought our friends in Tel Aviv had somehow managed to cut off our phone connection.
Well, Mike, it's great to be with you, and thank you very much for that very kind introduction. I must let people know the fact I do have a small dog, and before people get some funny ideas about me, and these days and age, people might think funny about you if you got a small dog. I like big dogs, but I travel a lot.
And, that's right. And you and I sat at this cute little yuppie Thai restaurant in Washington one time. You were changing planes, and we got together for lunch.
Yep.
And I asked you where the dog was, and you said, "Oh, she's right here." And you reached out on the chair beside you and pulled the top of the bag open, and here's this sweet little baby pops her head out.
she's a great dog. She's Maltese, and she's traveled with me, and also the life of a writer, and that's primarily what I do, is write and spend many hours. It's great to have a little companion there with you. And,
oh, she's wonderful. Wonderful
she has been
little
fantastic
dog.
But I hope you also remind our listeners that not only do I usually have a nice and quite wonderful small dog with me, I usually have a very beautiful woman with me.
Well, that's true enough. And I've you know what, David, I always tell people, despite your reputation as a womanizer, and let's face it, you have that reputation over the years.
Oh, come on now.
You've had a number of steady girlfriends for a long period of time,
yeah,
and they've all been wonderful ladies, and I've met several of them, I should say, but they've been wonderful ladies and intelligent ladies. And
well, I've never been a guy that really has gone out with different girls every day. I'm not in that sense, but I've always had a person I cared about a lot, and I have a wonderful lady in my life. She's a former attorney with the Kremlin. In fact, she's practiced in the Human Rights Court in Europe, and she's defended Russia, believe it or not, from some of the Jewish oligarchs, because every time a Jewish oligarch in Russia gets prosecuted for these terrible crimes against the Russian people, they claim violation of human rights. And that's right. And they go to the Human Rights Court and file complaints against Russia, and Russia has to defend it. And she worked in the office right under Putin, and she now is working on a very interesting book, a fantastic book on the gulags and the role of the Jewish ethnic racism against Russians and against Gentiles in general, and how that played a role in the greatest mass murders of all time. It'll be the first book that really documents the Jewish aspect of the greatest single destruction of millions of humanity the world's ever seen. Even the liberals have to admit that the deaths and the tortures of the Soviet period, both in Russia and throughout Eastern Europe, far exceeded anything alleged by the Germans during the Second World War.
That reminds me, I want to get into discussing. In fact, I got to have you on the show sometime to talk all about Russia, but just for the record, I just want to mention here that the time you and I were together, along with some other great people like Jürgen Graf and Frederick Tobin, when we were in Moscow back in January of 2002, just a couple months after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, at which time in Moscow you gave a very effective address outlining all of the evidence pointing toward Israeli involvement in 9/11 at that conference, which was held at an academic institution in Moscow. I will never forget the fact, and we were standing there right side by side, while there was a moment of silence for the victims of Jewish communism, right there in the middle of Moscow, the city which so many of these mass murders were directed. And that, to me, was one of the most emotional moments in my life. And it was very clear to me at that point then that the world had reached a very real turning point, and I will remember that for as long as I live.
Yeah, I remember that, too. In fact, I paused in my speech to do that specifically, to remember the victims of Soviet Bolshevism. And I remember giving a speech a couple years earlier than that, one of my first major speeches in Russia, to a large speech at the Maikovsky Library right across the street from Lubyanka, which was the prison where so many tens of thousands of Russian Christians were tortured by these evil men. And
it's just amazing that
I could be giving a speech. I would never have dreamt as a young man that I'd ever be giving a speech across the street in the Maikovsky Museum from Lubyanka prison in the KGB headquarters in Moscow.
What a moment. Like I say, that really was one of the great moments in my life. And actually, yeah, you made that possible. You were the one who introduced that moment of silence, and it really says so much. Well, turning to our own country, you have described this ongoing presidential election, which is soon, we hope, maybe we don't hope, going to come to a close as the election from hell.
Exactly.
And you have a
it
background.
It is an election from hell, isn't it? It's just the most unbelievable scenario I don't think we could have imagined such a thing just a couple decades ago in this country, any of us. It's just absolutely insanity. The whole thing's insanity.
Well, at this juncture, David, and of course, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but who do you think is going to win?
Well, I think, you know, the experts, the pundits, seem to think it's going to be Obama. I don't see any reason why any reason to think that he's not going to win. I think it's going to be closer than the pundits suggest. I think there's, you know, they often talk about the Bradley effect and the Gantt effect and the Duke effect. You remember all my races.
Exactly.
Every major race, I literally scored 20 points higher in the actual voting tally than the poll showed.
That's right. I had forgotten about that. That's correct.
And I think there's an underlying sentiment among a lot of white people and a lot of the pollsters, by the way. It's a low paid job. A lot of them are minorities and other different aspects. And these people come up with a foreign accent or a black accent, and they call these white people on the phone, and they say, "Who are you going to vote for, Mr. Obama or Mr. McCain?" A lot of white people just say, "Well, Obama," just to get rid of them, you know. And they're almost afraid. You know, European Americans today are, unfortunately, I hate to say this, and it's a sad thing to say, but many European Americans are simply running scared. They're afraid to stand up for their own rights, their own heritage. You know, we're losing our rights in this country. We're losing the very basis of our country. And,
you know, David, speaking about the polls, I saw something very interesting in the Washington Post today, buried in a long story analyzing the process of poll taking. And they pointed out that the Pew Research poll, which is considered one of the most prestigious polls of public opinion, it pointed out that they have I forget how they worded it, but what they have done, they have lessened the requirements to determine whether black voters are actually to be considered certain voters, that they're absolutely going to the polls. Well, obviously, what this means is that they are essentially then inflating Obama's support in the polls that they're taking. So, you know, I don't believe the polls. I never have. I never will. We've seen, like you say, the Bradley effect and the Duke effect. So I personally, I told someone today, I think it's a 50-50 situation here, that McCain is not as weak as he appears to be, and Obama is not as strong as he appears to be. But the bottom line of it is, and I think most of our listeners would agree with this, that in the end, we are not going to get much of a difference whether it's Obama or whether it's McCain.
Right. Also, I think there's another factor of that too, that polling, and that factor is that also blacks are pretty hard to poll. I give an example. I mean, a lot of times when you try to reach them, you can't necessarily reach them. Sometimes they vote a little bit stronger than they're polling, and also some of these polling of blacks shows 92% of blacks voting for Obama. See, that's ridiculous. I mean, Obama will get 99% of the black vote without any question in my mind. At least, probably 99.9%.
And if he wants to win, he's going to have a very strong black voter turnout, or else someone's going to have to generate a lot of phony black votes for Obama.
Well, we had some precincts in New Orleans when I ran for governor and senator, that some black precincts that voted 100%, and that's of course impossible because. Because more, you know, a number of people die since registration, or they're sick or in the hospital, or for that matter in jail. One half of all black males between the ages of 18 and 36, well, in Washington, D.C., for instance, are either in prison and waiting trial on probation or whatever, or felons, and they couldn't even vote. I mean, I think a lot of these polls, you know, are indeed skewed. And here's what I would predict at this point. I would predict a very razor thin vote. I think the majority of whites overwhelmingly will vote for McCain and other third party candidates over Obama. But Obama will get very solid votes in the African Americans, very solid vote among the Mexican Americans and a lot of the other non-white groups. And it looks to me like the reason why Obama will probably win is because the Electoral College favors these large states. So he just has to win razor thin in some of the large states, and he wins Electoral College.
It could carry him over. Well, I hear the music, David. When we come back, let's talk about these candidates in particular. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have David Duke aboard, former state representative, professor of political science, now living in Europe. Very well-known figure, and I know you'll want to talk to him.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months. Months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. David Duke is with us here tonight. Do check out his website at davidduke.com, and you can get information about his forthcoming conference in Memphis, November 7th through the 9th. Has an interesting lineup of speakers, including David himself, and you may just want to attend. Okay, David, now we have these two candidates in the race, and I hear a lot of my friends and other people saying, well, we have to stop Barack Obama because he's going to be worse than John McCain for one reason or another. What would you say about that?
Well, I understand the supposed people's sentiments, but you can't get worse than John McCain. and the issue is this, that John McCain is Mr. Amnesty, of course, in the U.S. Senate. He co-sponsored the Amnesty for Legal Aliens bill. He attacks European-American heritage, such as even attacked the Confederate flag in South Carolina. He has supported every kind of rotten program. He supports affirmative action to the hilt today. I can just go on and on and on. And as a Republican, in some ways, that poses more of a threat to us than as a Democrat would. Because, and I learned this very well in the House of Representatives in Louisiana. I mean, when you have the governor or you have the president of the United States, for that matter, and you're in the Republican Party, unless you go along with that Republican leadership, you won't get the committee assignments you want. You won't get the campaign fundraising and support that you want. you want. In fact, I didn't go along with the Republican agenda on some of these liberal issues. And even though I was the main candidate against a very, very liberal Democrat, the president of the United States, who was Republican at the time, came out in favor of the liberal Democrat. And in the process, not only did he hurt my election opportunity for the governorship of Louisiana and for U.S. Senate, by the way, but he also hurt every other Republican candidate in the state, because the person who's top of the ticket affects it. And if he doesn't get as many votes, that helps the Democrats. And so it helped devastate their own party. The truth is, the Republicans and the Democrats, as you know, are just totally in the hands of the Israeli firsters, the radical extremists, and in fact, in charge of Wall Street. And McCain, if McCain supports, if Obama gets in there and supports amnesty, which he probably will, every Republican will vote against it, and they'll identify it as something negative, as well as a lot of Southern Democrats and other Democrats whose constituencies are very much opposed to this immigration. But if McCain does it, and McCain wins, and he supports amnesty, they will use the loyalty card on the Republicans and tell you, if you don't vote for this, you're not going to get the committee assignment you want, you're not going to get the pork barrel project in your state, you're not going to get campaign funding, we're going to support other Republicans against you. So that really has more impact in lessening our forces. It's always worse to have someone against you inside the walls than outside the walls. Also, I think that the Republican Party is such that if you don't tell the Republican Party that to go stuff it when they see the Republican Party thinks, and I know this, I served as chairman of the largest Republican district in Louisiana. In fact, I was unanimously selected by the other elected Republican members of the Republican committee in St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana. And the Republican Party, if they think that you have to vote for them, in other words, yeah, you know, they don't have to stand up for you because you have no place else to go, this Barack Obama, you've got to vote for the Republican candidate. That's how we continually get the shaft. We get it, you know, in the wrong place every day, day in and day out. The Republican Party has to be taught a lesson. They have to learn that if they write off the European American vote, that they're not going to get support. And one more point. It's a perfect example of what's going on. To show you the controlled press and the controlled political process in America, we had three major debates this year for president. And as you know, certainly one of the biggest issues, if not the biggest for many people in many parts of the country, is the illegal alien problem and the immigration problem in general to the United States of America. It's a huge problem. And we had three debates, and neither candidate and no media person, there was not one word about the illegal immigration problem in the United States of America during this campaign. It's just absolutely amazing. And that shows me, too, that McCain is ready to continue to support amnesty as he always has once he gets into the presidency, as Obama will, too. So that's a really interesting point, isn't it? Not one word about the illegal alien problem or the immigration problem in the United States, which is a huge problem. And one last note. You know, it's interesting how Obama's being presented as the anti-war candidate, yet he's already crawfishing about Iraq. He did have an 18-month timetable, but he has made statements that he will look at the situation then and he will make decisions by how the situation is at that time. And he's already promised to massively increase troops in Afghanistan, that hellhole for the American people. He's no anti-war candidate. And both candidates, by the way, have massive campaign support from the Wall Street banksters, the criminals, people who stole trillions of dollars from the American people and then get trillions more in the bailout. The biggest single contributor for Obama is Goldman Sachs. And on McCain's side, 15 of the 20 largest contributors, and you can find this on the government website showing these contributions, 15 of the 20 largest contributors for McCain were Wall Street Jewish Wall Street banking firms.
Starting to sound to me like this is an election from hell, David. All right, folks, we're going to the break here. We have some callers lined up from David Duke. Poor David Duke. When we come back, we'll let David make a few comments more as he chooses, and then we'll go to the call. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Pfeiffer here at republicbroadcasting.org with David Duke. We do have quite a few callers lined up, but I'd just like to give the floor or the microphone to David here and just say, David, what can you say at this time? What's the most important message that you'd like to convey to not just the American people, but we have international listeners here? What is the message you want to get out to them?
Well, it's the same message that I've been talking about in my life for really 40 years. And that message is that we must, at this point, organize and be courageous and stand up for our heritage and our rights. And unless we do that, we're going to lose everything of value and beauty and importance to us. We're losing it all. Europe and America are facing massive immigration, differential birth rates, intermarriage. We're losing the very substance of our people, the very basis of our people. We're being wiped off the earth, and we've got to defend ourselves. I think it basically is summed up, and you can look at this in a way as a symbolic, the fact that Barack Hussein Obama is approaching the presidency of the United States of America. It's a tremendous I think it's going to be something that's going to wake up so many of our people. I think our people have been dreaming and thinking that, well, if we're going to get out of this problem and some of these white politicians are going to save us and people are going to do something, but they're not. And we've got a guy coming in who is an absolute anti-white racist in every respect. For 20 years, he's been a member of an extremely anti-white church. By the way, the church's major theme in its first five principles, which is on its website every day. It's been there for years. He's heard a million anti-white sermons. This main theme of the church is that the church is true to Africa, true to Africa. They talk about black interests, black culture, black heritage, black community, black this, black that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I think Barack Obama, as a black person, should be proud of his heritage and want to preserve it. And he's got every right to work for his interests. But that same kind of principle is true for ours. It's just ironic to think that a man who's been part of a black racist church for 20 years is going to become perhaps president of the United States of America. I would understand if he's going to be running for president of Kenya, but an overwhelmingly European-American country, to have a president who's oriented toward black racism, black radicalism. His wife, Michelle Obama, is just as he is. She, in her doctoral thesis, and I've got quotes on my website, davidduke.com, I show how in her doctoral thesis, she said her first loyalty is to her black community. Again, that's fine. But they don't live in a black country. This is overwhelmingly a European American country, and we should have equal rights for all in this country, obviously. But we must have a preservation of the heritage, the values, and certainly the rights of European Americans. We have massive affirmative action going on, discrimination against our people. We have massive immigration. We're going to be a small minority. We will be a minority in about 20 years, according to the federal government, and by the end of the century, will be a tiny, tiny minority, totally subject to the whim of these radical minority organizations and groups, Marxist-style groups. Look at the program of the NAACP. Look at the program of La Raza and these other minority groups. Very, very leftist, very, very socialist, very, very communist. And that's where we're headed. And unless we stand up with courage and ability and dedication, and honesty, I think honesty is the key word. We've got to tell the truth about these issues. We're going to lose everything of importance to ourselves, our families, and that of our children.
Well, that's quite a message. And, you know, if there's anybody who disagrees with that, they're welcome to come up here and disagree with it. So I think with that having been said, we're going to go to the callers. We've got Dave from South Carolina. David, come on up.
Hey, great to speak with you.
Oh, great, Dave. How are you?
Hey, it's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Duke. Yeah, you got out of Dodge, didn't you? I don't blame you.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to make it clear. Yeah. I don't live, per se, in Europe. I do work and teach there, but uh-huh. I still have my home and office in Louisiana. I'm in Louisiana now. And if the time may come, I run for office again. It has to be the right race at the right time. But I do interviews every day across the United States. No matter where I'm in the world, you can do that with the internet. I travel frequently and speak in the United States, and I'm a United States citizen. I have not left the country permanently. I do work and teach in Europe, and I do think that we have a worldwide problem in front of us, that our people, whether we talk about people in Louisiana, whether we talk about people in Germany or Austria or Sweden or Denmark or Ukraine or Russia, we face a common problem. Right now they're trying to, in fact, encourage war and a terrible conflict between the United States, Europe, and Russia. And Russia is not a communist country anymore. The reason why they want conflict with Russia is because Russia is one of the few countries that have stood up to a degree, not completely, but to a degree against the Zionist power.
I absolutely agree with that, yes.
So we're in a conflict, and I just wanted to make sure I've not abandoned America.
No.
I'm really working on a worldwide basis for our people, and America's part of the white community all over the world, and together we have to solve this problem. That's why I go wherever I'm needed, anywhere in the world, for this cause.
Well, I really appreciate it, all the work you've done over the years. Now, I was coming from the perspective of a guy who grew up in the inner city in the South, and I did live in Kenner, Louisiana, for a little while.
Yeah,
14 years old, yeah. But I lived in Greenville, South Carolina, growing up, and I was, you know, exposed to black racism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 38, so, you know, I was growing up during that time after the Civil Rights Movement and all that stuff, and I was in one of these, how you call it, daycare. You know, my mom's real poor and didn't have anywhere else to put me. So, well, there I went, you know, me and two other white kids, little brother right. and sister, younger than me, was in there. They don't like us, okay? You know, and the whole time they would take us in there and they were indoctrinating these kids.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of stuff. I mean, they were preaching constantly to them. And then when they weren't preaching to them, we get stuck on the sidewalk and just left there and that kind of thing. You know, we endured a lot of assaults and things like that, and it was a terrible situation.
Oh, it is terrible. It's terrible. I mean, and the media in this country exacerbates this anti-white hatred. People talk about hate speech and hate crimes. You constantly see white people portrayed as evil or repressive, cruel, violent, murderous against minorities. You see, if you watch crime dramas on TV, always you see a constant theme of some white girl claiming that some black raped her or molested her, but it turns out that she's lying or she was trying to cover up the relationship for her racist father or something like that, and the black guy is always innocent. You know, this kind of thing. They instill this hatred in minorities against us, and they also instill a guilt complex in white people. Derek Black, who won election, by the way, to the Republican committee in Florida, and he's a good example of what we can accomplish. Derek Black said it very well in an interview recently. So these aren't my original thoughts, but his thoughts. He said, you know, a lot of white people are voting for Barack Obama simply because it's a way to feel good about themselves. I mean, our people have been so brainwashed by voting for Barack Obama. It's like, oh, I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I'm not a racist person.
Did you notice the two primaries he won was Iowa and New Hampshire, the most lily white states in the country, of course. But, you know, I mean, that's okay because when I grew
well,
up,
actually
you know,
lost
first
in
job
Hampshire.
I had was...
Yeah, he won in Iowa with a lily white. But, you know, also notice at the end, even the Democratic Party, he couldn't win the white vote. He only won the nomination because he got a solid black vote. And of course... He couldn't have become the Democratic nominee, and he certainly couldn't have become president or could not become president except for the fact that he is black. Because he could, if he were white, saying exactly the same things.
Yeah, he's a communist.
Well, if he said the same things being white, he couldn't even have got the black vote away from Hillary because of a long record of Hillary.
Well, the one thing I'll drop you after this, but
sure.
Whether he wins or loses, and God forbid if he doesn't win, you know, there's going to be like a social zeitgeist, you know, that the black population in this part of the country, at least, are really going to have inspiration to be a little more rude to us than they are already, okay? You know, I'm 50 kilometers behind enemy lines, I think, but, right. Well, that's kind of neither here nor there, I guess, but, you know... Again, I appreciate all the work both of you guys are doing.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your call, as always.
Hey, God bless you.
All right. We have John in California. John, come on east.
Mike?
Yeah, how are you?
Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Duke. Real quick, Mike, I saw your new book, and that's a great scenario. You're the president. I can't wait for that to come out and just see all the stuff. You know, I always thought about, what if somebody wrote somebody that, you know, do good things in the country, no matter the president or just things, good things happen that's, you know, like it's you know, out of your, you know. Anyway,
yeah,
I can't wait.
You know,
for
as
it.
A matter of fact, in that book, I have a picture of David and I in 1987 when David came to Washington to announce his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. There's a picture of David and I talking with the security at the National Press Club in Washington. Because of the threats from Jewish groups that were made, they didn't really want David to. They didn't want David to speak, and that's not unusual.
No, I can't wait for the book to come out, Mike. Anyway, David, I followed you way back since the spotlight was in going, and followed your career, and it's one of those you know, you speak your mind, and if you're not towing the line like. Senator Byrd, and you know we know what he was way back in the 40s, but
of
course. You toe the line, you know, they forget about that or maybe make a reference that, you know, that was years and years ago. But I appreciate all what you did, and sorry that you didn't make it all the way, but I think you did pretty good. My question is, how did you end up in Russia?
Well, it was a long story. I had an opportunity to do some teaching there at the some of the academies, some of the major universities, and I had a lot of friends there, and I started going, and I was intrigued by the country. I saw a lot of opportunity. I mean, you had a huge nation with huge amounts of resources and a great white population, European population. Moscow's the whitest large city in the world, and I was very impressed by that. And so I thought, you know, I thought while they were coming out of communism, and they were coming out of it in the 90s, I thought I could make a lot of contribution to making sure that Russia did not fall, as they became more free, did not fall under the capitalist Western Jewish control. And I think I've contributed to the fact that Russia is not under the same kind of control as we are. In fact, I feel that they're freer than we are right now. I know, in fact, I have friends and I have a number of people that I helped elect in the Duma, in the Russian Congress. And I've brought a lot of American campaign techniques to a lot of good patriots in Russia. And I think I've had a good influence in Eastern Europe, in fact, in a lot of different Eastern European people. And I saw an opportunity to really bring the message there and to try to get the movement in Eastern Europe and in Russia on a good footing, on a real solid footing. And because I think that my campaigns and the way I present things is a logical and decent and reasonable way. And I think if we follow that same kind of pattern in different countries, it'll work in any country, just as it worked in Louisiana. It works even better in Eastern Europe, in a sense, because you have less innate, Jewish extremist control over the media and over the political process. And also the people are much less brainwashed in Russia and Eastern Europe. They haven't had a lifetime of Holocaust propaganda being just absolutely rained on them. They know that the Russian people themselves, for instance, lost over 20 million people in the war. So it's kind of silly for them to talk about the Jewish losses when the Russians lost so much, and when the Eastern Europeans lost so many millions from either Bolshevism or the effects of the war. It makes these people much more immune to the propaganda that we get constantly in this country, where the Holocaust, the mention of the Holocaust, excuses any sort of horror that Israel commits against the Palestinians, or any sort of absolute disproportionate control. I talked about it earlier. I did an interview with the AP. You might want to listen to it on my website today, because I recorded it and I put it on my website for everybody to share. I wish that all the interviews I do with the media, I wish all of them were able to be broadcast, but all of them are not, of course. But this was an AP interview. And I pointed out, I said, you know, you got hundreds of organizations working for black perceived interests, hundreds working for Mexican perceived interests, and you've got thousands around the world working for the perceived interests of the Jewish community, even a foreign country, Israel. And all these groups that do these things are praised by the media, but if someone comes along and says, I'm a European American and I want to preserve my heritage, or a European and I want to preserve my heritage, oh my God, that's hate speech. The hypocrisy is amazing. And if we just keep telling these truths again and again, we can reach people, because we are telling the truth and our people are really up against the wall at this point.
Hey, David, quick and I'll get off. Do you think Russia will go to war with us to, you know?
I think Russia would defend itself if the United States is aggressive. And I'm certain they don't want war. You have to look at this whole thing realistically. Now, let me give an example. When communism was overthrown in Russia, at that point, Russia controlled all of Eastern Europe. They controlled Poland. They controlled what was, you know, Hungary. They controlled, we can just go on and on. They controlled what was called Czechoslovakia, which is now Czech Republic and Slovakia and Slovenia and all the rest of it. They controlled all these nations, Romania. They controlled Georgia. And the Russian people voluntarily said that every nation should be able to run their own affairs, and they let them break off, which was not truly, obviously, in their economic or their geopolitical interests. And at that time, the Russians had basically a tacit agreement with the United States that if we let these countries go their own way, we certainly don't want to see NATO missiles and weapons on our doorstep any more than the United States who want to see missiles in Cuba on our doorstep. We went through the Cuban Missile Crisis, of course, in this country. And So the Russians were not aggressive. They were not aggressive in terms of the Georgia situation. They let Georgia go on its way. But South Ossetia was not Georgian, never has been Georgian, don't speak Georgian. And the Georgians invaded. And then the world and the Jewish extremist-controlled media, the world is told that Russia had aggression against South Ossetia. I heard Obama on his infomercial tonight, right before this program, say that we need somebody to stop Russian aggression. The Russians haven't been the aggressors. It's the Jewish extremists, these Zionist neocons that control American policy. We've been the aggressors in Iraq. We've been the aggressors around the world. And we have led, there has been blowback. There's been terrible things happening to us like 9/11.
I hear the break coming up. John, okay. Thank you for a very good call. When we come back, we can squeeze one more caller in. But folks, I remind you, go to daviddukes.com. Check out the website and check out the information about David's forthcoming conference, November 7th through the 9th in Memphis, Tennessee. And by all means, go to that conference if you can.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
The world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping up this hour, which went by all too fast. I'll remind you once more to go to daviddukes.com for more about David and by David and find out more about his forthcoming conference. So let's go to our last caller. We just have a minute or two. Dave from Massachusetts.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Dave. How you doing tonight?
Fine. Hi, Dr. Duke.
You.
Hey,
You know, by the way, before you say something, I want to tell you that we talked about our presidential race back in 87. An interesting side note of that is that I went to New Hampshire, in that year, and I participated in the New Hampshire primary. In fact, I was on the ballot for the vice presidential nominee in the state of New Hampshire, and I won that. I became the nominee of the state of New Hampshire for vice president of the United States of America in that race.
And the Democratic Party, no less.
And the Democratic Party, no less. Isn't that amazing? That shows you how the country's changed a bit.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, Michael. You know, there's a lot of talk. You know what? Barack Obama is talking a lot about how he has sound judgment, you know. He has this sound judgment and everything. But you know, Michael, I think your guest, Dr. Duke, I think he has the soundest judgment, consistently the soundest judgment, I think, of any other person I can think of.
Well, all you need to do is read his book, My Awakening. There's no hatred in that book. There's very candid and articulate discussion of a lot of important issues, and we've heard just a sampling of that here tonight with David Duke.
Yeah, Dr. Duke, may I ask you, are you endorsing any of the third-party candidates?
No, but I'm suggesting people vote third party, and I really don't care what third party candidate people vote for. I think Chuck Baldwin's a good candidate. I think I'm not too fond of Bob Barr. I even like Ralph Nader, because Ralph Nader, he's even stronger against the Zionist lobby, and that's the most, you know, the Zionist power in our media and government and foreign policy. That is the reason we have all these other problems. I mean, as we know, the media control. The media is what's paving the way for Obama, and the media is controlled by you know who. And so even anybody third party that can get a good vote is good, because it lessens the impact of the major parties, and it tells people there's a lot of dissent out there. So I think voting third party is a very wise thing. If somebody wants to vote for McCain, that's fine. And there's a lot of states where there's no contest between McCain and Obama. Either McCain will win clearly or Obama will win clearly. And I think every white person in those states should vote third party, because the more votes third party has is a better barrier. It's like a good battering ram against the two-party system, which is really betraying the American people.
All right, Dave from Massachusetts, thanks for your call. We are running out of time. I will just close by saying thank you, David Duke. Keep up the good work, and
thanks.
Urge people to check out davidduke.com.
Yeah, come
it's
to
all there.
It's going to be great. The conference is going to be fantastic, and we got people from all over the world going to be speaking, and leaders. And I know you had a prior commitment that we won't see you there this time, but I know you'll come to one in the future. But this is going to be a great conference. Everybody's invited. Go to my website and get details for it.
All right. David Duke, again, thank you very much, folks. That was a great show. Thanks for your input. All good questions. Stay tuned now for more good programming here at republicbroadcasting.org. We'll see you here tomorrow night, God willing.
In Matthew 25.